Create Art Podcast. KDOI rebroadcast. Conversations on creativity with Kinja Dixon. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kimo Bryan, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I bring my 20 years plus experience in the world education and art. My previous podcast was KDOI Podcast, which stood for Kimo's Den of Equity. And of course, we did a name change a while back. But I wanted to bring especially this episode out to you, instead of letting it, you know, kind of sit in my external hard drive. This episode, we're going to be talking about creativity and time management. And we're talking with Kinja Dixon. When I did this interview, oh my gosh, Kinja has so much energy that literally, luckily I have a couch right next to my studio here, and I had to take a nap because of all the energy that he was pushing through. So I hope you enjoy this rebroadcast of KDOI Podcast, and I hope it helps you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. This is your friend, Timothy Kimo Bryan, the host of KDOI Podcasting. This episode is going to be a little different. We're going to tackle two subjects instead of one. So we're going to do creativity and some time management in this one. Now, this week, we have on Kinja Dixon. He's recognized unanimously as the number one sales executive in the world in 2013, and he's the first to win the Gold Stevie and ARDA award in the same year. Kinja is the author of three books and an in-demand public speaker. His interactive course, Dixon On Demand, and theatrical experience, The Recreation Encounter, has helped thousands of people reshape their lives. His latest book, Little Solar Book of Superpowers, takes young people on an interstellar journey of self-discovery as they learn the meaning of living with character and conviction. Now, you can learn more about Kinja at kinjadixon.com and Lil Solar at bookofsuperpowers.com. And Kinja is spelled K-I-N-J-A. All right, folks. So I want to thank you all for, again, tuning in to Kimo's Den of Iniquity, KDOI Podcasting. Head instigator here, Timothy Kimo Bryan. And, you know, folks, we try to bring on guests here that really can speak to the conversations that we've started up here in Season 3. And tonight is no different. We're bringing on Kinja Dixon, and he's going to be talking to us tonight about creativity and time management. Now, earlier you heard me talking about his very impressive resume for everything that he's been doing here lately. Big thing is he's got Little Solar Book of Superpowers coming out. Oh, it is actually out already, and I'm definitely going to be getting a copy for my girls, and y'all should get a copy for your girls or guys if you got boys as well. But I definitely wanted to bring on Kinja here tonight to talk to us about creativity and time management. Kinja, how are you doing this fine evening?
Unbelievable. Just in a space of just pure joy. So many beautiful things have been happening within the last few weeks that are stemming from just following this process that I'm hopefully be able to share tonight. But I'm just honored to be up here and happier today than I was yesterday, with the intention to be happier tomorrow.
You know, that's a fantastic outlook in life. I just love your energy coming through here, coming through their airwaves. And I know my audience is going to be feeling this when they're listening to it in their daily life. Kinja, you, like I said, you have an impressive resume. You have a lot of projects going on here. And tonight's topic is creativity and time management. Let's tackle creativity. With
all of these projects that you have going on here. And I brought up the, you know, your latest book, which is, you know, taking young people on an interstellar journey of self-discovery as they learn the meaning of living with character and conviction. Where do you get this idea from? How are you connecting this kind of stuff together like that?
And to fully explain, I have to go back to when my recreation started. See, I just hit 40 years old in December of 2018. So now approaching my 10th year in a whole new state of mind. In 2009, at a point in my life where I thought I was doing very, very well because of my real estate credentials. I was considered a legend with the company, Wyndham, selling homes and vacation properties, and went to a trip in Puerto Rico with the young lady, a friend of mine at the time, for our yearly President's Club. And when I got back in Virginia, that which was my place of residence at the time, we were in our home and we were looking at the pictures. And I saw my picture. If you go on my TEDx talk, you'll see the picture during that talk. But I got up to 300 pounds. I was looking at the picture, and all I just thought about was how within 10 years, I went from 185 pounds to 300 pounds, and I was a functional alcoholic. I was in a position where I was competing with so many different parts of my company and having all these issues that I didn't realize were issues, because on the outside, things were so good. So literally, I started within that month to reach out to a nutrition and a physical trainer. And I remember us walking into the Walmart after I agreed to pay him $100 a month for him to design a full life health plan for me. And I remember my true recreation started, which is the name of the second book, Recreationism, The Art of Shaping Reality. But real quick, I realized that from that day until today, there have been four things that I have been focusing on as the priority of my life. But to jump back a little bit, the drama of walking in to the Walmart with my trainer, and he said, Kenja, if you're going to start this lifestyle and not waste your money, you do not need to eat out for the next 2 years. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, what do you mean? And he said, in order for you to get this lifestyle going at the level I have intended, I really need to put you into a mindset where your willpower muscle increases. So if you don't want to do that, don't even pay me. And I really had a moment in Walmart where I really had to make a choice. And for him to step out and say, don't even pay me if you really don't want to do it, it let me know how much passion he had about the process. So I jumped on, and I'm telling all this background because literally that is one of the things that helped the priority of health become a high priority in my life. So with the mixture of following his program of eating the same thing for the next 2 years, increasing my emotional intelligence by diving deep into all the things that had me wanting to do so many things that didn't have to do with health, getting better at my sales profession, and including so many new things into my daily agenda, my new life started at that point, and the rest is history, man. So to give you a true perspective, that was the day that started my next phase of life in February of 2009.
Excellent. And you had to get to that point and get your life changed around, get into a healthy mindset in order to be able to do everything that you're doing now and do it successfully with the amount of passion that you have.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, in the philosophy that I don't try to take any credit for, I just have studied a lot of people and found out that these four things of what I believe are the priorities in every person, like if every person was a plant, I believe that health, emotional intelligence, hunger to gain new knowledge, and getting better at whatever you do, I would consider that like the soil and the water. And the mixture of how those things are focused will determine how high your plant grows. So the reason why I'm in a space now where I'm able to create so many things that I couldn't have even fathomed is because I have prioritized my life. And if it doesn't help those four things grow, I cannot have it in my world. So people, relationships that I'm building, podcasts, you know, projects, if it does not fit into helping myself grow those things and people that I'm helping those four aspects in their life grow, it's not a part of my daily regimen and I keep it out of my world.
That's fantastic, because we have so much bombarding us in this world. I mean, you know, back we're going to do the old back in my day, but mm-hmm. you know, back when I was in the Air Force, you know, and I was in the Air Force 91 through 94, we didn't have that we have today. We didn't have the cell phones that we have today, everything that's bombarding us. And I'm looking at my girls, you know, they're 5 years old. I got twin girls that are 5 years old. And I'm seeing all the apps, all the ways that marketers and people can get to them and get in front of their eyes and have them sit and be a couch potato and do absolutely nothing and just, you know, passively absorb all this stuff. And I'm grateful that I grew up when I grew up. Because, you know, when I was a kid, you had to, you know, you went out of the house until the streetlights came on. And even then, you stayed out for a little bit while longer finding things to do. And in this society that we're in right now, things are finding to do with you. And you have to have a really good edit button. Well, not edit button, but you have to have a really good filter to filter in the good and keep out the bad.
You hit it on the head, man, and I'm so honored for you to be a parent that recognizes how important creating that filter is for your girls, because we have so many people, so many creations, and if we don't have a set foundation of what we're going to focus on, our world will dictate what we become and what our focus is put on. So that's one of the reasons why when I look at the last 10 years and what I've been focusing on and been and able to help others on, it's I believe those are the most important things. And the beauty of it is you'll get all of the accolades and the financial mastery and the choices that everyone wants, but you'll be in control of it versus it controlling you. And that's what I learned firsthand, because I'll tell you to kind of talk about why I got to 300 pounds is in 2007, because of me allowing the world to control me, I got to a certain amount of money. You know, I went to Bank of America, made a deposit, and my account was over seven figures. And because of me thinking that I made it, the next 2 years of my life was a blur. I was drinking more. I was throwing parties. I was doing all of these things because based off of humanity's agenda, I made it. And so in 2009, when I looked at that picture, it was like everything just crumbled and I was able to start from scratch. And now I can really testify to if a person doesn't have a set amount of foundational principles they live by, the things that are popular in our humanity are usually not going to be in your best interest. That's just the reality. Mm-hmm.
And the things that are popular with humanity and with the world right now don't seem to last for that long. I mean, you know, different musical styles. I was listening to NPR and they were talking about the whole Taylor Swift thing. She's, you know, six records in. But I tell you, in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, is anyone going to people will say, Taylor, who? You know, mm-hmm. the things that last are things that aren't flash in the pans. Things that last have been proven time and time again to withstand the test of time. One of our quotes from Rumi, who's definitely lasted for centuries, he's a 13th century Persian poet, he says about creativity, you know, don't be satisfied with stories, how things have gone with others. Unfold your own myth. And to me, it sounded like you had to, you know, create the, what am I trying to get at here? You had to create the mantra, the picture of what you wanted to be with the help of your trainer and with all the study in order to get to where you were at here today in 2019.
Exactly. And another piece that's so important is I did not allow my monetary success after 2009 to dictate how I lived. And I think that is one of the most important pieces that you could gain from the timeless masters like Rumi, that when you look back into history, the people that have been able to sustain and really make a dent in this world on a spiritual level. And when I say spiritual, I'm not talking religion, I'm talking about the soul, are the people that have not allowed their value to be placed on a monetary level, but from an inside level. And it's so unique because this point of view usually comes from someone that does not enjoy making money, but that's not the case. I'm doing better than I've ever done, but it's not a part of me chasing it. It's being created like a seed because of working on the things that make the seed grow. And that's when you don't have to worry about getting to a certain place in life and then losing it like we see on the news regularly, because you get to a space where you can now add more and more to the world because you don't get comfortable in your skin. So great, great point. And again, I congratulate you for being a parent. You know, I work with so many schools and I work with so many parents, and that's one of the issues, is that parents sometimes get lost in the storm and forget that they're little people watching you, and everything you do is teaching them how to live. And so I'm so honored that you're able to notice that sometimes just giving the kid an iPad and just thinking, okay, that's all right, that might not be the best thing to do.
Nope. that is, you know, that's probably another podcast that I should start up, is, you know, how to raise twins. I think there's a few podcasts out there like that, but yeah, you can't. And for yourself too. I mean, one of the reasons why I started up this podcast is I was seeing a lot of people just sitting there looking at their phones, and these devices are fantastic. I mean, the cell phone that you have in your hand right now has the same computing power as the computers back in 1969 that sent a man to the moon. It's the same computer. So you could essentially send a man to the moon with your cell phone. And you know how many millions of cell phones are out there. It's a great tool, but you want to make sure that you're using the tool and the tool is not using you. There's great art programs on there. You know, there's a million different apps that you can use to create something that's out there that's uniquely yours, where you're not imitating somebody else. You're creating something completely out of the blue. And when you're talking with these kids in these schools, and I know the same thing with my daughters, they'll come with their own stories. I encourage my girls to, you know, kind of create their own stories out of fairy tales that, you know, we tell them at night before they go to bed. And the stories that they come up with are very inventive and unique because they don't have the same trappings that we as adults have. And it's kind of getting back into that childlike mindset of, you know what, let's get rid of everything else and let's let that mind wander and see where it goes. And, you know, let's not restrict ourselves. Let's go and make beautiful mistakes.
Exactly. And to tie all of this into creativity, because many times when that word may come up, the person that's talking about it is at a space where they're creative now, and sometimes they're not as vocal about some of the downsides that they had to get to their creativity. And I'm such an open book. I want everyone to know that your highest creativity comes when fear is no longer the dominant emotion in your life. And in order for fear to be eliminated, there has to be habits that are going to be love producing. And even though food, even though television, even though what we're looking at, even though associations sometimes are not dissected, some of our most fear is instilled by the things that we do and are most comfortable with. And so I'm at a space now because of things that I started years and years ago where my mind can wander into the unknown because I don't have anything producing anything other than love in my life. And I'm talking about love for you, love for family, love for everyone, people that I know, people that I don't know. And that is because I will honestly say my identity is no longer tied into human-based agendas. My identity is now risen above human-based things and now into a space that I don't want to put a name on it. It's just a universal love for life, for ourselves, for our heart beating, for the plants, the animals. It's just, once you get to this space, it sounds kind of hokey and unrealistic, but it's just one of the best 10 years that I can imagine anyone in human history has been able to live, man. I'm just so honored to be able to share, because it's only getting better.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, and when you clean out the clutter, what do you have left? You have your human spirit. Mm. And you know, like you said, you're not getting you're not talking church here, and neither am I. You have that spirit that's within all of us that, you know, I hate to, you know, make this sound like a value judgment, but it kind of separates us a little bit from the animals and from the plants. You know, we look at the cave paintings, you know, from, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago. You know, we all have this need to relate to others in some sort of fashion, whether that be paint, public speaking, writing a book, tattooing, you know, making dinner. That's an artistic and creative endeavor, if there ever was one. And, you know, if you can create a dinner for very finicky 5-year-old twins, that is definitely creative. That's, you know, that's one of the epitomes of creativity.
Yes, it is, man. And, oh, I know y'all are going to have so much fun coming up with this July 4th. So good. Kudos to you. Kudos to you.
Absolutely. Now, Kendra, you'd been talking about a little bit about, you know, the dark side, you know, the stuff that impedes our creativity. Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, how you filtered that stuff out? You know, you paid for a personal trainer, $100 a month, but can you talk a little bit about how that investment in yourself and getting rid of, you know, and getting rid of it, because that's not an easy task to do. What you're telling us, you know, what your path and what you're telling us, it's not an easy task to do whatsoever.
Well, beautiful. So once a person decides to increase their holistic life grade, and if for anyone that wants to find out what their holistic life grade is, or just simply log on to re-creationism.com, re-creationism.com. There's a 40-question survey that allows you to answer some questions to see what your holistic life grade is. Because what has happened, and I can testify, is that I did not look at myself as a whole being for several parts of my life. So I was able to do well in one area, and doing well in that area justified mediocrity in another area. So I wouldn't focus on all the little details of my life. And so when I started this process with the February 2009, I already was a very good sales executive. So, and I only became a good sales executive because of reading and mastering my process. So once I was able to focus on eating these same 2-3 meals every day, I started, and following his workout plan, my health started instantly getting better. I used to hate the treadmill. I remember my first time running on it, and then a week or two later, I'm able to do, you know, a mile straight. And so I started seeing things that I never thought were possible, and that had me become better in sales. So then I started adding new different types of styles into my workout regimen. So that allowed me to get new knowledge. And with the accumulation of getting more physically fit getting more emotionally independent by not allowing things that used to get me upset, like walking upstairs. Now I'm excited to go up the stairs. With the mixture of getting better in my craft, my entire essence as a human spirit started elevating. And before you knew it, within 7 months, I could no longer drink alcohol, because as I lost 75 pounds within the first year. So what happened was, when I would celebrate after selling so much in a month, I was not able to hold my alcohol the same way. So I was now attempting to celebrate drinking the same drinks that I used to drink, and I was getting sick. So what happened, because I wasn't so stuck into just living a certain way, October 31st, 2009 was my last alcoholic beverage. So now imagine in 2009, losing the weight, getting better in my cell craft, and then no longer drinking. All of this time that used to be muddled with doing things that, I'm going to be quite honest, my mind wasn't as clear. I now focused on inwardly helping me become a better person. So 2009 was really a recreation year for me, because I was now able to reprioritize things that I used to think were important. I realized were not that important. And so for anybody listening, what I ask you to do when you go on and check your HLG, and this is not a grade where A, B, C, or D, you're literally going to grade yourself based off the answers you're going to give yourself. Because what has happened in our world is destination-based grades, degrees, places in life has allowed us to start getting complacent. So my goal is for you to have a year from taking some things from this conversation where you start reprioritizing things, which leads your next year to reprioritizing some more things. And so every single year, and I'm not talking calendar year, you are just exploring new dimensions that you never even thought were possible by sticking to a foundation that you never stray from the principles. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense, because in this year, you know, after a year of doing that, you're going to be in a different spot. And if you take that same questionnaire again, you're probably going to end up with a different grade and see, okay, maybe I need to tweak this area and focus more on this. You know, okay, maybe I need to focus more on my physical than my mental. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that. What do I got to do to do that? Following year, you switch it, and that's the beauty of when we drop a lot of the pretenses away, that we allow ourselves to grow and to be the spirits, the individual, the person that we were meant to be.
You hit it on the head, man. And I'm going to tell you, that is one of the biggest things that every person has to battle with, is are you willing to step into the unknown? And some of the people and relationships and situations that may be pulling you back, you don't have to cut them off drastically. You might just have to turn it into a limited association. I got that from Jim Rohn. You know, you might have expanded associations and limited associations. And I believe if you're willing to do that, each one of us has something special in us that is going to help our humanity become a better place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So another quote that we had here, because I'm a big one about kids because I got a couple, is the Albert Einstein quote where he says, creativity is intelligence having fun. Now, just talking to you, you know, over the airwaves like this, I can tell that we put you in a party anywhere, you're going to be the most interesting person at that party. Absolutely.
Wow. Absolutely. Well, I'm honored for that thought, man. And really, what I think will make that true is how much of an interest I would have in finding out what sparks the people at the party. Because, you know, I've went through a lot of different phases, and with my sales hat being put back on, one thing I have learned is how to become a better listener. When you go through 4,000 to 5,000 in-depth conversations with husband, wives about their, you know, their real estate portfolio, you learn how to listen. And so one of the things that makes me, I believe, one of the most interesting people is because I have more fun learning about others and their lives, because as I listen to so many people, I see the similarities in all of us versus the differences. So it's a beautiful way to live and communicate.
That is true. That is absolutely true on that. All right. So let's dive a little bit into time management, because it's, for me, it goes hand in hand with creativity. There are certain demands that we have on our time. With all the balls that you have up in the air, you know, with speaking, with writing, with doing the courses, you know, I know you can probably toss out like 10 different apps to help people out, but as an individual, how do you keep all that, how do you keep the energy and the interest in all the activities that you're doing and still have a social life, still have a family life, still, you know, find time to energize yourself and to get to where you're at right now?
Great question. And I'll say, since 2009, every single morning without fail, no matter where I am in the world, a gym workout is the first thing that I do. So what, as far as my time management, I have set a schedule where my four pillars are being prioritized in the every single day of my life. This was in my sales career, and it transferred into when I retired. So every single day without fail, to start my day off, I have body breakfast. I go to the gym, it's my body breakfast, mm-hmm. you know, just to get me started. And then afterwards, and during the gym, I'm listening to audiobooks that have to do with broadening my horizon. So I'm now double whammying. It's one of the best things that anybody can do. I used to listen to music about a decade ago, but ever since I started reading, I mean, like listening to audiobooks, like you said, I mean, of all different types of people, biographies, Napoleon Hill, Jim Rohn, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the Bible, like just reading and understanding life while your body is being exhausted. So the first 2 hours of my day, I have probably learned or had more reinforced principles than what the average person has their whole day. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. by the time I come home and have my nutrition, I am now so eager to now work on my fourth pillar, which is purpose. So it's either what interview I'm going to prepare for, which of the 36 titles am I going to add to today? I'm part of a college agency. I just went to a huddle in Florida. So which program am I going to revamp? Which conferences am I going to submit for? But everything that I do is within the four pillars of my life. So I don't necessarily have to have a set to-do list every day, because no matter what I do, because I have my four foundations set, it's all helping the life cycle of Kenja increase. And that's why it's so important for us as individuals to take inventory of what we're giving our time to. You know, some, no offense, you know, to anybody that loves to watch television. But what I want everyone to ask themselves, because the day that I cut off television, it stemmed from a conversation I had with one of my sales when I sold real estate. But he was a high position at a television station. And I, during our conversation of 3 hours, I found out that he graduated cum laude and was supposed to be a lawyer. And for some reason, I asked him in closing, I said, why are you working with a television station versus practicing law? And he said something that I've shared at a few conferences that I'm going to share with you and your audience today that changed my life, man. It takes about 2 minutes if we have time. He said,
oh, well, absolutely.
Okay. He said, Kenja, I am not like you. you are someone that goes hard, man. I could tell you are an asset to your company. But I honestly, man, the time that it took for me to become a good lawyer, I didn't want to give. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions about television. When I was given this opportunity, this has been some of the easiest money I've ever been able to make. And then he took me down a journey. He said, Kendra, when you were, you know, crawling, and what do you think your mother put you in front of soon as you got a little too much for her hands? And I was like, wow, probably the TV. He said, let's jump a few years. He said, when you were around 9-10 years old, for you to go to bed, when your mother told you you had to cut the TV off, were you happy or you sad? I was like, wow, I was sad. He said, let's jump a few more years. He said, Kendra, when you get off work today, what is the first thing you're going to do when you get off of work and you relax? I said, wow, TV. He said, and when you get into an old folks home, if you make it, what are they going to put you in front of for most of your life? I said, wow, TV. He said, now, Kendra, don't get me wrong. I don't want to paint a picture that TV is wrong. But what I want you to ask yourself personally right now, he said, whatever your favorite show is right now, honestly, is it something that helps you become a better version of yourself? And when I thought about what my favorite show was, man, and what I was so excited to come home to watch, I realized that none of the things that I was looking at was enhancing me to become a better sales professional. It was not helping me become a better person in humanity. And because of me at this time, when this happened, already being pretty much clear on my goals with my health and with my purpose, I realized that having the television in my home was more of a hindrance than a help. And so I disconnected television from that point on. I'm not telling everybody to do that. But what I am saying is that if you want to manage your time, you got to realize that 3 to 4 hours of television a day equates to at least a few years off of your life. And what everyone wants to ask themselves is the television worth my time? Am I somebody complaining about bills? Am I somebody complaining about opportunity? Am I somebody complaining about things that I'm not able to master, but I allocate 2 to 3 hours of time every day to looking at somebody else who's mastered their life? This person that you're looking at, they're living in their mastery while we are sometimes sitting at home complaining about our life, but not realizing that if we were to take those 3 hours and refocus them, we could actually increase our awareness, our results, and help our family become a better place.
And you know, for everyone that's, you know, watching TV out there, okay, so you're watching 3 hours, take an hour off. Because on your tombstone, do you want it to be said, hey, he binge watched all of Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, you know, in, you know, 48 hours, or this person did XYZ, created a whole new art form, created a whole new philosophy, help people, millions of people find their potential. I'd kind of want the second thing on my tombstone versus he watched Game of Thrones for 48 hours straight. You know, it does very little for you, if anything at all. And unfortunately, I'm not at that point yet. I used to be. I used to have no TV in my house whatsoever when I was a bachelor. Creeped its way back into my life. And listening to you here tonight, I'm like looking around my man cave, and I've got, you know, 3 laptops that I use specifically for my art. You know, one's for podcasting, one's for doing music production, and then the other one is for my writing. But then I look just a little over my shoulder here, and I'm looking at a big 42-inch screen TV going, yeah, do I need that? How many times am I sitting, you know, trying to knock out a song, and I've got the TV on behind me when all I need to do is turn off the TV, throw on the record player that I have 10 John Coltrane records on, put that on, and let my mind go.
I give you so much credit, man, for being that self-aware. And I also want everyone to know that there are psychologists and scientists that create these shows so that they literally keep us, and I'm gonna tell you why. You know, in Planet Fitness, when I do an hour of cardio daily, they have the televisions across, and there's been a couple times when I've been in a family member or a friend's home, and they're looking at a show, and I'm like, wow, I fully understand how someone who is not mentally prepared and understanding the effort put into these shows, how you could literally have your life taken away from you and not even realize it because they designed them to literally take you away. So all I ask is for, I love your self-awareness, because all it takes is for a person to kind of step outside themselves for a moment so that they can look at themselves. If a person does that, then I think and they will just automatically make the right moves. I don't want to come across as I'm militant on myself. So I don't want anyone to take my militant way of approaching my growth. And I don't want you to take that and put it on yourself. This started over a decade ago and probably literally over 15, 16 years ago because of my mother being a very harsh person. So I think I cater to the harsh style, but I realize everyone has not went through that. So I don't want the message to be taken in a wrong way. All I ask a person to do is just take themselves outside of themselves, work on their own speed, but just do the best to become a better version of themselves every single day. It's not about rushing. It's not about a time rush where you have to do it by a certain time. But I do ask you to at least spend time focusing on becoming a better version of yourself every day for the rest of your life. And then before you know it, 5-10 years have passed, and you'll be surprised how much you've created and how much you've helped our world become a better place.
Perfect. Perfect. And I'm going to, I know it's a cliche, but I want to remind folks, and I think you probably would agree with me on this. You know, it's a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. You know, you're not going to get to it that quick. And you need to find your own path. You need to, what works for me doesn't work for everybody else. What works for you, Kenja, isn't going to work for everyone else. But if we can take bits and pieces of it and go, I like that idea. I'm gonna try that out. It's not gonna hurt you. Everything that you've been talking about here tonight, it's not gonna, you know, stopping drinking. Myself, I stopped smoking after 25 years of smoking. It was tough. I did that two and a half years ago. Have I fallen off the wagon once or twice? Yes, I have. But you know what? I got right back on, and I said, you know what? Boom, we're gonna, you know, hey, I'm a ex-smoker. I'm a non-smoker now. And I'm going to continue to, you know, get healthier. And, you know, when that happened, I went and did 22 laps in the pool because that's what I needed to do to remind myself, this is where I want to be. I don't want to be outside having a cigarette. I want to be in this pool, knocking out 22 laps, teaching my girls how to swim and doing that versus having to stand outside and hide a cigarette, try to cover the smell. So that way my girls don't smell it and aren't influenced by that.
Good job, man. That's one of the hardest habits to break. So I congratulate you. And that's, I love your honesty. And I believe anybody that wants to grow, as long as they're honest with themselves and don't start living the lie, you know, their potential is.
And you know, you got to remember that, you know, we are enough. You know, I'm honest because I'm not trying to impress anybody. I make my mistakes just as well as everybody else does. And, yes, you know, we have to be for ourselves. We have to be enough for ourselves. And if we're working towards that goal, working towards that state of mind, that's a good state of mind to go for.
Yes, sir. And I love what you said, just taking little pieces of everybody's world and adding it to our world in our own speed. And it's a beautiful thing, man. I it's one of the most important principles, I believe. The key is just remembering what that nugget is and sticking to adding it to our daily regimen so that it's just not a moment of emotional zenness, but then we go right back into the comfort zone. So that's another thing I recommend is if anybody heard anything that is going to be a tool, work, figure out how to add it into your daily regimen effective tomorrow so that you can instantly shake up your vibration and increase your awareness.
So we're going to be wrapping up here in just a few moments, but Kenja, the first thing I'd like to do is, where can everybody find all of your great stuff here? I know you have a website, but where can everybody find your stuff? And then the second thing is, what's the next project? What's the next big thing that you're working towards?
Well, it's pretty simple. KenjaDixon.com is the first website that I created when I realized I was retiring from sales. So it gives you access to everything that I would say led up to where I am now. Recreationism.com is the, and that's R-E, first, KINJADIXON.com. Recreationism.com is accessible through KenjaDixon.com, but I like to give them separately because they're all their own separate entities. So re-creationism.com, that's the philosophy that goes deep into the pillars, the four pillars: H, health; E, emotional intelligence; K, knowledge; P, purpose. And Little Solar's Book of Superpowers, you can find that at bookofsuperpowers.com. It's an interactive website that allows every single reader to meet the seven stars of that book. Little Solar is the solar system, and it's a journey where the solar system goes to each of the continents to find one child that has at least six of its seven superpowers. And to give you an example, one of the superpowers is the power of connection. So this conversation with that child helps them learn how to connect with everyone. And what I'm working on now, man, believe it or not, I have two books that are going to be released within this next year. The next one is the Book of Superpowers workbook, and my single or broken, Can You Tell the Difference, is a singles manual that anybody can read, because I'm going on my fourth year of celibacy, man. That's another wow moment that I believe I'm able to help people learn that there is a way to be successfully single and to go old school on a man, fall in love with yourself before putting yourself out there, man. Like, and so instead of me doing it from the normal self-help style, it's 12 stories with 12 different people in their lives. I've created 12 different stories, because single or broken, I broke it into an acronym. So, but man, it's just so much that's going on. Just to stay on track, literally my Facebook, Kenja Dixon, and my Instagram, Kenja Dixon, my YouTube, Kenja Dixon, and just follow the path. I don't know where I'm headed, but one thing I can tell you for sure is I'm going to help our humanity become a better place by helping teach the things that I am personally using myself.
Perfect. And you know what? I can't wait to go on that journey with you and to see where you're going to be going with it, because I have a lot of people pop up to me and they go, hey, Tim, you know, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. And just sitting here listening to you, reading through your bio, going through your websites, I'm like, man, I need to do a little bit more, because I've got, you know, I've got that spare 10% energy that I need to expound and put out into the universe and do a little bit more. So thank you for that. And thank you for coming on the KDY podcast. We really appreciate you here tonight. Is there one idea that you'd like to share with the audience before we go out for tonight?
Identity, 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 identity. No matter who we are, we will never surpass our self-image. So with our world that we just finished talking about, that bombards us with so much technology, so many titles, so many names, so many labels, I definitely ask every single person to do an inventory, because if you have an identity attached to your being that is not unlimited, you will only perform to the level of what that identity is. And I'm talking about if you buy into that color of a skin, I think you might need to question if you are literally a color of a skin. If you buy into an income class, are you literally just an income class? If you buy into the way your body right now has manifested, do you really think you are that name? No. These are all just habits and titles and labels that your human experience has accumulated on you. And all you need to start doing is just every single night dissecting and taking away some of these titles and going to sleep free. And before you know it, you will become a universal identity instead of a segmented identity.
Wow. I'm you know what? We're going to have you back just to talk that point, I think. Just for an hour, just on that, I could go so many different places with you on that. Oh, my gosh. Well, Kendra, it has been a privilege and an honor, and I want to thank you so much for showing up here tonight with us, talking to us about creativity and time management. And, folks, definitely go on to Akinja's websites there. You're going to find some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful information there for yourself to unlock yourself and to be the person that you're meant to be. Always, KDOIpodcasting.com is where we're at here. We're looking to create more than we consume and have conversations with you. And again, thank you, Kendra, for showing up here tonight with us. And everybody out there, have a great evening.
Okay, now I'm going to give you permission to go take a nap, because after hearing that episode, I need to take a nap again. It was a real pleasure having Kendra on with me. And I do have to do a special shout out to Chris Jones, who introduced me to Kendra. Chris Jones is over at the Art Business of Writing. So how about you? Are you feeling a little bit more creative right now? I know I am. I know I definitely am. Go ahead out there. Create more than you consume. Aim that inner critic. Create more than you consume. Okay, folks? You can always reach out to me, Timothy, at createartpodcast.com. Go to our website, createartpodcast.com. Catch all of our old episodes and even the ones that I did as KDOI Podcast. Until next time, thank you so much for joining us here today.